Thank you, Sue. Thank you for praying. Today is the second Sunday in the Epiphany season. And the lectionary subject, the subject of our readings and so on, is the baptism of Christ. But I've got a confession to make. I'm not actually going to talk to you about that. I'm actually going to talk to you about something different. Because this week I was reading the chief rabbi, Jonathan Sacks, who I think is wonderful, and he gave some New Year's advice, which I thought was so good that I thought that's what I want to speak about and base today's sermon around instead. The chief rabbi, well, of course, he's Jewish. He spends a lot of time, though, with young people, with pupils about to leave school, or with students at university, or even with graduates about to embark on a career. And often they ask him for wise advice, because he is a wise old owl. And what are they going to face as they start out on life and begin their journey into the future? And here are some of his ideas that are worth thinking about as, well, indeed for us, as we begin our journey into a new calendar year. The first thing to do, he said, is to dream. And I don't think he particularly meant literally to dream at night, because most of us do that, but he meant to just take time to let your imagination fly. Seemingly the least practical activity turns out to be the most practical and most often left undone. I know people who spend months planning a holiday, but very little time planning a life. Imagine setting out on a journey without deciding where you're going to go to in the first place. Actually, Jane and I had a bit of that on Friday. We went to go and see some friends in Bury St Edmunds. We'd never been there before. We borrowed our daughter's sat-nav, but we got lost. I think we put in the wrong postcode or something like that. And we found ourselves going out of Bury St Edmunds down a sort of little lane, and we thought, hang on, this isn't where we want to be. And, it was a nightmare anyway. It's no good, is it, if you don't know where you're going to or you're heading down the wrong road. However fast you travel, you're not going to reach your destination because you never decided where you want to be in the first place. And in fact, the faster you travel, the more lost you become. Dreams are where we visit the many lands and landscapes of human possibility, and we discover the one where we feel at home. The great religious leaders were all dreamers. Think of Moses, for example, who dreamed of a land flowing with milk and honey. Think of Isaiah, who dreamed of a world at peace where the lion could lie down with the lamb, where people would beat their swords into plowshares. The great religious leaders were all dreamers. One of the greatest speeches of the 20th century, Martin Luther King. Do you remember how that started? I have a dream. That's right. He was a dreamer. And that actually changed the world, didn't it? That dream. If I were to design a curriculum for happiness, dreaming would be a compulsory course on that curriculum. First thing to do is to dream. The second rule is follow your passion. In other words, the thing that gets you fired up and excited and enthusiastic in life. Because nothing, not wealth or success or accolades or fame, nothing justifies spending a lifetime doing things that you don't enjoy. I've seen too many people enter careers to earn money, to give their partners and children everything they want, only to then lose their partners and become estranged from their children because they never had time for them. There's no point doing that, is there? But people who follow their passion tend to lead blessed lives, happy in what they do. They tend to spread happiness to those around them whose lives they touch. That's a life worth living, isn't it? Follow your passion. the thing that gets you excited and fired up. Sometimes it's worth noting what are the things that actually irritate you and annoy you and get you wound up. Often, those are the things you're called to change in life and in the world. Things that you can improve and make a difference to. The third rule, he says, the third rule I learned from Viktor Frankl, the psychotherapist who survived Auschwitz and wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And Viktor Frankl used to say, don't ask what you want from life, ask instead what life wants from you. Because the great lives are the ones where people heard a call, where they had a sense of vocation in their life. That's what started Abraham on his journey, for example, from Ur of the Chaldees right round the Fertile Crescent down to Israel, as it now is, and indeed to Egypt and then back up again. And eventually that changed the world, that calling of God to Abraham. Moses might well have sat back and lived a life of ease as a prince of Egypt, mightn't he? But he heard the cry of God's people, his people, as they suffered under slavery. He heard God's call to lead them out into freedom. There's a well-known story about three men who spent their lives breaking rocks in the quarry. And when they were asked what they were doing, one of them replied, well, I'm breaking rocks. The second one replied, I'm earning a living. The third one replied, I'm building a cathedral. You don't need to ask which of those three had the most job satisfaction, do you? They knew what they were doing. Well, the third one did anyway. The late Steve Jobs spent his life making technology people-friendly. The creators of Google sought to make the world of information available to all. An overarching sense of the why preceded the how. And it's where what we want to do meets what is necessary, what's crying out to be done. That's where we should be. When our passion comes together with our calling. The fourth rule is make space in your life for the things that matter. For family and friends, for love and generosity, for fun and joy. Because without those things, you'll burn out in midlife and mid-career and wonder where your life went. Judaism, of course, has the Sabbath, a day of stillness, each week dedicated to just resting and recreation. Making space for the things that are important but not urgent. Now, not every culture has a Sabbath, and in Britain, in some ways, it's being eroded away, isn't it, by other activities. But a life without dedicated time for renewal is like a life without exercise or music or a sense of humour. It's a lesser life. So take time to dream, follow your passion, find your calling, make space for things that matter. And then lastly, the fifth rule is work hard. Like the way an athlete works hard to prepare for the Olympics, or the way a concert pianist or a cutting-edge scientist works hard and practices. One American psychologist calls this the principle of flow. In other words, that peak experience you have when you're concentrating hard, working at a task, so much so that you're unaware of the passage of time. No great achiever ever succeeded without hard work. Even those who make it look easy, make it seem easy, often it's because they've practiced hard and worked hard. The Jewish word for serving God, avodah, means literally hard work, serving God, we should work at it and give ourselves to it. So I think those are five good rules for life and good rules as we enter another year, 2013. Take time to dream, follow your passion, find your calling, make space for things that really matter, and work hard at it. Try those rules out, and I think we'll be surprised by joy. Let's just take a moment's quiet and come before the Lord and ask him how he would have us respond in the coming year.